Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Chrissy.
All right, so we've ended the first full week of the session, and we've seen a bit of familiar material pass through the legislature this week. We heard from Governor Haslam on school vouchers, and that bill is pretty much identical to the bill that he introduced last year that didn't make it.
Right. Basically, he's sticking by his guns. He is saying, I thought this measured approach is his phrase, is the way to go. It's more or less an experiment in vouchers, cap of $5,000 on the first year, and that he doesn't want to go beyond that. Although Lieutenant Governor Ramsey, for one, is saying there's some middle ground here where he's proposing a compromise. The gist of it would be that if there are $5,000 the first year, expanding to $20,000 in year three, not all of those $5,000 are used, then say only $1,500 go to the low-income people in failing schools, then they would let the leftovers, the remaining $3,500, be distributed to other folks within the same school district. So that would broaden it, make sure that all of the allotted spaces are used for vouchers.
So they wouldn't necessarily all go to low-income students. They would go to, 1,500 of them would go to low-income students, and then the rest would go to whoever wanted them?
Yes, that's more or less it. There would be a cap on the numbers, but only low-income, free lunch-type folks at risk in schools that are failing would be eligible for these vouchers. Those would have first priority.
As you said, Ramsey says there's middle ground, so it sounds a little like the legislature is prepared to meet Haslam at least halfway on this, or?
That's an excellent question and unanswered. No, there's still a split in the Republican ranks. The governor has not agreed to that compromise. He was rather adamant last year in staying where he was and not broadening it. So it remains to be seen if he would go along with something, and then you have a substantial number of legislators, almost all Democrats, and a few Republicans who just don't like vouchers, period.
Well, we also saw from Governor Haslam an anti-methamphetamine plan, which basically caps the amount of pseudoephedrine that can be purchased by your average consumer monthly here in Tennessee. From what I gather, he's got some support from the TBI and from other state agencies. And from the legislature, it sounded like his main opponents are going to be the drug industry.
By my count, he had 36 Republican legislators standing up on the stage with him when he announced his plan. He does seem to have law enforcement aboard as this compromise version. He does not have what you might call the big pharma people who make the drugs in question. On the other hand, the Tennessee Pharmacists Association's executive director says she believes that's a very reasonable approach. I think that is one of those consensus plans the governor has put together successfully, and it will be enacted in fairly short order.
Well, Tom, one of the first orders of business this week was guns. Let's talk about some of the gun legislation that showed up this week.
Bill introduction time, so everybody's filing their bills, and there are several new gun measures. These range all over the map. Perhaps the most dramatic is the expansion of the Tennessee Firearms Freedom Act, which, as passed in 2010, says that any gun manufactured in Tennessee and kept in Tennessee is not subject to federal firearms laws. The expansion version says any gun in Tennessee, possessed by a Tennessean, is not subject to federal firearms laws, and that anybody trying to enforce a federal law, gun law in Tennessee, is subject to a misdemeanor. There's also a guns in parks law, as you remember, in 2010, which some call the year of the gun in the Tennessee legislature, by the way. We passed a law that said handgun carry permit holders could take their guns into state parks, but left local city and county governments to decide on their own whether guns could be permitted in their parks. This would strip the locals of that authority and simply say all local parks could have guns carried within them as well. There are many others. Ramsey had the legislative staff attorneys issue an opposing opinion to Attorney General Bob Cooper on the question of whether employers who prohibit firearms on their premises can fire employees for bringing them on premises if they have a handgun carry permit. Ramsey's opinion says no, they cannot fire those folks for having guns on premises under a state law that passed last year. The Attorney General said yes, they can.
Then what's the indication on where the legislature as a whole stands on some of these gun measures?
I would say the expansion of the Tennessee Firearms Freedom Act will not go too far, although it has a strong support from the Tennessee Firearms Association and so forth. There seems to be some reluctance by leadership to go that way. On the flip side, there seems to be a good bit of support for the idea of taking away local government's authority to ban handguns within their own parks for handgun carry permit holders. The guns and trunks law that passed last year says that the holder must keep his or her weapon in a personally owned vehicle. Well, there's a little bill that would amend it that says it doesn't have to be personally owned, so if your mama loans you her car or you have a rental vehicle, that you could still keep your gun in there, too. There's another bill that says you don't need a handgun carry permit to keep your gun in a car. It has been floated before. There's the whole debate about the constitutional carry, which means nobody should have to have a permit to carry a handgun. That has never gotten very far in Tennessee. The permit system, Speaker Harwell and Ramsey say seems to be working. They want to leave that as it is and not expand that to cover people who haven't gone through all the rigmarole you have to go through to get a permit.
Our final item then for the day, Senate Democratic Leader Jim Kyle announced that he's going to run for a vacancy in the Chancery Court in Memphis.
If elected, he would resign his Senate seat and be a judge full-time, triggering a temporary appointment by the Shelby County Commission and a subsequent special election to fill his seat. If he gets elected, and he is well known and fairly popular in Shelby County, so good chance that he will get elected. He's been doing this legislating stuff for a couple of decades now. The Democrats are in a dramatic minority now. There's only 7 Democrats, including Jim Kyle, left in the state Senate. They stand to lose probably a couple of seats in the coming election. He's just decided judicial is the way to go.
Tom Humphreys, the Nashville Bureau Chief for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Chrissy, you are welcome. Thank you.